TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. The Dynamics of Possible Nuclear Extinction. The merger of corporations and the US government as an underlying cause of the current nuclear situation. Mike Lofgren. In prior installments of this TUC radio series, you heard from physicists, experts on artificial intelligence, nuclear winter, and on weapons in space, as well as foreign policy analyst Noam Chomsky. When Mike Lofgren gave his talk, he rightfully began by saying that this was going to be something completely different. He pointed to the deep state and the merger of U.S. corporations and the government as causes for the danger of a nuclear war in our time. Mike Lofgren is a former congressional staff member who served on both the prestigious House and Senate budget committees. He retired in 2011 and began writing about his experiences. His initial article as a private citizen received over 1 million views on truthout.com. It was entitled "Goodbye to All That: Reflections of a GOP Operative Who Left the Cult." Lofgren expanded on that article in his book, The Party is Over. Since then, he has written numerous articles published in the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, the Atlantic, the Huffington Post, and other publications. When Bill Moyers interviewed Mike Lofgren in 2014, Lofgren had begun work on his next book, On the Deep State. Here's a short clip of Moyers' opening of the conversation.
If you've read the espionage novels of John le Carré, you know that no other writer today has so brilliantly evoked the subterranean workings of government. Le Carré has a name for that invisible labyrinth of power. He calls it the Deep State. And now, an American you're about to meet in this broadcast has seized on that concept to describe the forces he says are controlling our government, no matter the party in power. But Mike Lofgren's no intelligence agent, although he had a top-secret security clearance. He's a numbers man, a congressional staff member for 28 years with the powerful House and Senate budget committees. Over the years, as he crunched those numbers, he realized they didn't add up. Instead, they led him to America's own deep state, where elected and unelected figures collude to protect and serve powerful vested interests. Mike Lofgren was so disgusted, he not only left Capitol Hill, he left the Republican Party and wrote this book, The Party is Over, How Republicans Went Crazy, Democrats Became Useless, and the Middle Class Got Shafted. Mike Lofgren, welcome.
Good to be here again, Bill.
You write that the secret and unaccountable deep state floats freely above the gridlock between both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue is the paradox of American government in the 21st century.
The common narrative of the last 5 years, and on a superficial level, it's right, is that government is broken, it's dysfunctional, it's gridlocked. Well, that's true, and that is the visible government, the constitutional government we learn about in Civics 101, and it is gridlocked. But somehow Obama can go into Libya, he can assassinate U.S. citizens, he can collect all our phone records without a by your leave from anyone. He can even bring down a jet carrying a president of a sovereign country without asking anyone's permission. And no one seems to connect the two, the failure of our visible constitutional state and this other government that operates according to no constitutional rules or any constraint by the governed.
You go on to say, though, that it's not just the executive branch that is the heart of this, that it's just one of the several constituencies that make up what you call the deep state.
Well, it's all the national security functions of the government. It's the Pentagon, it's Homeland Security, it's the State Department, it's also Treasury, because they have a kind of symbiotic relationship with Wall Street.
Mike Lofgren. That was a clip from a 2014 interview by Bill Moyers. A year after that interview, Mike Lofgren took the stage at the New York Academy of Medicine. He was one of the 20-plus speakers at the two-day symposium on the dynamics of possible nuclear extinction, organized by the anti-nuclear campaigner and physician, Dr. Helen Caldicott. As you will hear in a moment, his talk resonated with the audience. They were looking for a path to taking control of the secret alliances that put all life at risk. Here's Mike Lofgren.
Now for something completely different. I am not a nuclear expert. Rather, I spent my career in the political world of Capitol Hill. It was a world that gave me an abiding faith in the non-existence of mankind's wisdom. At least the wisdom of those who presume to speak not only in America's name, but in humanity's name. That is why I left the place and wrote a book about the partisan craziness that rules it. You can see it here. The party is over. Now I am in the middle of writing a book on a topic I shall discuss today, the deep state. Nuclear weapons are not just big bombs with nasty effects. They are the ultimate expression of the power of a distinctive form of American governance. When Hillary Clinton hinted at nuking Iran by saying we could obliterate it, she was revealing a distinctive attitude of our governing class. Now, where did that attitude come from? Are such people subject to democratic control? You hear similar statements from elected and appointed officials, think tank experts, and so forth. That is the typical mindset of those who have assimilated the values of the American deep state. I use the term deep state to mean an informal association of key elements of government with top-level finance and industry, and which rules the country with only limited heed to the consent of the governed, that's us, through the formal political process. During the last several years, the media have been flooded with pundits condemning the broken politics of Washington. Conventional wisdom says that the partisan gridlock and dysfunction are the new normal. We are always threatened, as we are today, with government shutdowns, and governance is on par with a banana republic. And Obama, it's very evident, is impotent as far as getting his domestic agenda through Congress. Yet despite this gridlock, President Obama can kill American citizens without due process, detain prisoners for years without charge, and conduct dragnet surveillance on Americans without a warrant. At home, this power is expressed through massive displays of force by militarized federal, state, and local police. Abroad, the president can start wars without so much as a buy or leave from Congress. And these are not isolated contradictions. They are so pervasive, they tend to be disregarded as background noise. During 2011, a year so poisonous that I left Capitol Hill, when partisan political warfare over the debt ceiling began to paralyze governance, and the Treasury was juggling accounts to avoid breaching the debt limit, the United States somehow scraped together $1 billion to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi. Nothing could go wrong there. Yes, there is another government beneath the one visible at either end of Pennsylvania Avenue, a hybrid of public and private institutions ruling the country and linked to, but only intermittently controlled by the visible state, whose leaders we nominally choose. Those who seek conspiracy theory to explain this will be disappointed. There is no secret conspiratorial cabal. Using conspiracy to explain the functioning of a complex society is like belief in intelligent design, a pseudoscience which imagines wisdom teeth, tonsils, and appendices resulted from a grand designer's infallible plan. Evidence tells us that those features arose by tiny degrees over eons as random adaptations to chance and necessity, and they are not always optimal designs. The deep state, like a set of infected tonsils, is hardly optimal, but it became ascendant over our traditional democracy as a result of historical circumstance. The deep state is not the whole government, and it's not just the military-industrial complex. It is a hybrid of national security and law enforcement, plus key parts of other government branches. The departments of defense, state, homeland security, justice, and CIA are all components. There's also the Treasury because of its power over financial flows, enforcement of international economic sanctions, and its symbiosis with Wall Street. A lot of sanctions day-to-day execution is left to American megabanks like Citi or JP Morgan in the same way that the Pentagon outsourced military logistics to contractors in Iraq. Some parts of the judiciary belong to the deep state, like the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, whose actions are mysterious even to most members of Congress. There are also key trial courts, such as the Eastern District of Virginia and the Southern District of Manhattan, where sensitive national security cases are tried. The final government component is a rump Congress of congressional leadership and some but not all members of the Defense and Intelligence Committees. The rest of Congress, normally so fractious and partisan, is only intermittently aware of the deep state, and when required, usually submits to a few well-chosen words from its emissaries. While all government as a whole may be attentive to the desires of all corporations, the deep state components are even more intimately linked by a web of money, mutual goals, and careerism to certain key elements of corporate America. These elements include the military-industrial complex, Wall Street, and Silicon Valley. One former NSA insider told me the spy agencies are completely dependent on Silicon Valley's technology and cooperation to perform their mission. The membrane between government and industry is highly permeable for the personnel. The Director of National Intelligence, James R. Clapper, was an executive of Booz Allen, the largest intelligence contractor. His predecessor, Admiral Mike McConnell, is now vice chairman of the same company. Booz Allen is virtually 100% dependent on government business. The Carlyle Group, a private equity firm with $189 billion in assets under management, owns the majority stake in Booz Allen's government business. Washington is the most important node of the deep state that has conquered America, but it is not the only one. Invisible threads of money connect the town to other nodes. One is Wall Street, which supplies the cash to keep the political machine operating as a diversionary puppet theater. Should the politicians forget their lines, Wall Street floods Washington with cash and lawyers to help the hired hands remember their own best interests. It is not too much to say that Wall Street may be the ultimate owner of the deep state and its strategies, if for no other reason than it has the money to reward government operatives with a second career lucrative beyond the dreams of avarice, certainly well beyond the dreams of a government salaryman as I was. The deep state's control over politics renders moot the question I raised at the beginning as to whether policy on nuclear issues or any other policy is subject to popular control. In practice, the American political system allows only two parties, both of which are wholly dependent on corporations and the wealthy. These two parties engineer electoral laws and gerrymander districts so that third-party alternatives are unelectable. It is a system that would have been familiar to the Whig oligarchs of 18th century England. Martin Gillens of Princeton and Benjamin Page of Northwestern examined 2,000 opinion surveys of public policy and correlated those preferences with outcomes. Quoting Gillens here, "The preferences of economic elites have far more impact upon policy change than the preferences of the average citizens do. Ordinary citizens have virtually no influence over what their government does in the United States," unquote. In the 2012 campaign, President Obama told a group of wealthy donors that included Microsoft moguls Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer, "You now have the potential of 200 people in this room deciding who ends up being elected president every single time." The visible state, whose doings you follow on C-SPAN, may be breaking down, but the invisible state's machinery has been steadily expanding. That is the paradox of American government. Drone strikes, data mining, secret prisons, panopticon-like surveillance of citizens' private lives on the one hand, and on the other, visible institutions of self-government declining to the status of a banana republic amid the decay of public infrastructure. The ruling structures of complex societies are not uniform. They are a coalition of dominant factions operating by an unwritten agreement that cooperation is better than open strife, and that a clash between factions, conflicting interests, should be shelved, or at least hidden from public view, in favor of long-term advantage. But critiques of the separate components of the deep state tend to view them as standalone structures rather than as cooperating factions in a larger social environment. Few have posited these separate institutions as related and synergistic components of a much larger story, the transformation of post-World War II America from a quasi-social democracy to a political oligarchy maintaining the outward form but not the spirit of constitutional government. The United States has evolved a governing structure that made possible both the rapacity of Wall Street and the culture of permanent war and constant surveillance. These superficially distinct phenomena are outgrowths of the same political culture, so they must be seen as related. The state within a state that promotes and benefits from militarism, a plutocratic boom and bust economy, and a totalized surveillance state is hidden in plain sight. Its operators pursue agendas which are hardly secret. As the political scientist Harold Lasswell observed over half a century ago, society's leadership consists of people whose, quote, private motives are displaced onto public objects and rationalized in terms of public interest, unquote. Now, all societies have an establishment, a social network committed to its own enrichment and perpetuation. But in terms of scope, financial resources, and sheer global reach, the American hybrid state is in a class by itself. Sheer quantity has a quality all its own. That said, it is neither omniscient nor invincible. Far from invincible, its failures, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, its incapacity to anticipate or respond to the greatest financial crash since the Great Depression, even its blindness to the obvious potential for a hurricane to drown New Orleans, are routine enough that only its protectiveness towards its higher-ranking personnel allows them to escape the consequences of their ineptitude. Far from brilliant conspirators, mediocre thinking and careerist hackery are what makes the system's operatives stand out. The deep state is a wasteful and incompetent method of governance which reduces economic growth and weakens true national security. But it persists because its perverse incentive structure towards failure dresses it up as success. Its pervasive corruption and creation of synthetic bogeymen anesthetize the public into a state of mind composed of apathy, cynicism, and fear, the very opposite of responsible citizenship. The deep state also invests in diversionary strategies such as scapegoating when it is necessary to externalize domestic social tensions onto convenient foreign targets. How did I come to these conclusions? As a specialist in national security, I was on the fringe of this world, if neither in it by full membership, nor of it by psychological disposition. But like everyone else, I became partly assimilated by the culture of the institution I worked for, and only slowly, before the invasion of Iraq, did I begin to question the motives of the people who are, to paraphrase George W. Bush, the deciders. Cultural assimilation is what psychologist Irving L. Janis called groupthink, the chameleon-like ability to adopt the views of one's peers and superiors. This syndrome is endemic to Washington. The town is frequently swept by fads, whether it's biennial budgeting, grand bargains, or invading countries they can barely locate on a map. As in the military, everyone gets on board, and it is not career-enhancing to question the mission. As Upton Sinclair said, it is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends upon his not understanding it. The American government, together with dependent corporations and those who make up the satellite organizations of contractors, campaign donors, and influence peddlers, constitute the most complex institution in the world. This institution has evolved into what sociologist Max Weber called the iron cage. The cage is a metaphor for the relentless pressure on actors to conform to the expectations of the organizations they work for. Weber saw that while bureaucracies are supposed to employ rational decision-making, actors within them end up behaving irrationally. Modern societies create police and courts to safeguard liberty, but institutional logic impels those agencies to violate liberty because officials insist they must do whatever it takes to keep us safe. Rules also bar nepotism, bribery, or insider trading. So an institution evolves ever more subtle practices to allow legalized corruption, such as political action committees and 501c4 charitable organizations. At bottom, societies create bureaucratic structures to solve problems. During the last 15 years, the deep state has done a horrible job of averting or overcoming crises in national security and ensuring a national economy that serves the needs of the majority, not to mention preserving their liberties. But shadow government has created a fog of soothing propaganda to ensure its own perpetuation while protecting the reputations and incomes of the senior players. It has also kept virtually every single one of them out of jail. No one above enlisted rank has served prison time for torture or other crimes associated with an unjustified war, just as no senior Wall Street executive with the mega banks landed in jail for the mortgage and securities frauds that caused the 2008 financial collapse. During three decades on the Hill, I watched the deep state steadily strengthen its grip on our government as it inflated threats, promoted the longest military buildup in our history, invaded the wrong country in the most egregious foreign policy blunder of my lifetime, and imposed disastrous financial deregulation that nearly wrecked the world economy. Now it seeks a second Cold War. It is with all that in mind that we must gauge the competence and the prudence of the deep state and its players with respect to our topic of mitigating the risks of nuclear war. You will never get a handle on the nuclear weapons problem unless you cure the pathology of the deep state and its actors. Thank you.
That was Mike Lofgren. He spent 28 years working in Congress, the last 16 as a senior analyst on the House and Senate budget committees. That gave him an insider's look at debates on the Pentagon budget, the Bush tax cuts, and the various deficit reduction commissions. Increasingly frustrated by the gridlock and partisan polarization in Congress, Lofgren left government service as the debt ceiling crisis of 2011 came to a boil. Mike Lofgren spoke on March 1, 2015, in New York City at the Symposium on the Dynamics of Possible Nuclear Extinction, organized by the anti-nuclear campaigner Dr. Helen Caldicott. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, www.tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. While you're there, you can subscribe to weekly free podcasts. Downloads are free, and we appreciate any size donation to keep TUC Radio on the air. Our email address is tuc@tucradio.org, and the mailing address is Post Office Box 44, Calpella, with a C, like cat, Calpella, California, 95418. My name is Maria Gelerden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.